You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Oh, man. I didn't realize we were the feature presentation. That kind of ups the ante a little bit. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, everybody. We are kicking off hour two.
In stand-up comedy, though, that just means you're in the middle. If you're the feature, that means you're still a headliner? Right.
I never understood that. Because I heard you hear feature act or middle act. Middle act makes sense. Mm-hmm. Opener, MC makes sense. Yeah, I'm with you, though. The feature. Yeah. That's our feature act. Well, what's the headliner? Oh, he's just a guy that's going last.
He goes longer and he gets paid more. There you go.
Yeah. That is the voice of Greg Bach, one half of the Nightlight co-hosting team here. We are kicking off hour number two, as I mentioned. We had a great hour one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great, Greg. I like talking about the Let That Sink In, my pet peeve of the day, which you seemed on board with. We spoke with... go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're on board, Greg. I'm like, yes, I guess I am.
I broke something there. I shed some light on something that needed to be addressed. And Dom, I think I had you on my team too, right?
Yes, you did.
You called him ugly.
Yeah, right.
No. Now hold on a second. He did not have the beanie on tonight.
That's true.
And I thought he's got good hair, but I think he looks good in a beanie. Anyway, we also spoke with Eileen Newcomer from the Wisconsin League of Women the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the entire first act or first hour can be downloaded or listened to at civicmedia.us. All shows are cataloged in podcast form. That's just kind of what our way of saying thank you to the listeners, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Right? We know you're busy. You might not be able to listen live, so go ahead and go to the website, download some shows, and catch up with all now 1.5 episodes.
That's right, 1.5. That's right.
Yeah.
The second half of tonight's show is going to be just as crazy and fun as the first hour, folks. In just a few minutes, we're going to welcome Megan Anderson and Crystal Growell from the Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends. They're going to discuss a really cool event they are doing to raise money. Well, I'll just say it. It's a porta potty race. I've never been part of a porta potty race per se, Greg. Have you?
I've been to a baseball park. Yes, I have.
Listen,
I've tailgated. Yes, I have.
I've raced to a porta potty.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But I've never. Never been part of it.
And even if you reach the porta potty and it's available, nobody wins.
No, it's a
porta potty's not a win.
It's a slightly better option than buying someone's car in a gravel
parking lot. Exactly. But they're putting a porta potty to good use.
Right.
And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But it's time to get to the important topics, Pete. We got to address something very, very, very topical posed by you today. Go ahead. Tell us, restate the question of the night.
Dom, please.
Pregunta.
Do you tip fast food workers or baristas or, you know, professions of that nature? We've all been there. We've ordered a Happy Meal or whatever it is, or a venti drip. And there's always that little thing to leave a tip. That's our question of the night, folks. Be part of the fun. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. It is free. It don't cost nothing. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or what is it, Greg? Twitter?
The site that I still call Twitter, but other people can call it to me. But yeah, we're on Twitter as well.
So you could drop us a stream comment there too. Just be part of the show. It's always more fun when you guys participate, and you can share anything that's on your mind, really. Greg, I kind of shared a little bit about my thoughts about the tipping, but you and I are in agreement. You got there before I could today, but we are totally in cahoots on this one.
Cahoots indeed.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a very divisive topic because I think it can be taken from a gut reaction. You know, we're seeing people saying just straight out on the text line, Dave just says no. Okay. And I understand that. I totally understand that. And we have, you know, folks who sent in texts. I'm trying to find them right now because we got a lot of texts going on. It's very, very nice to see all of the outreach here. We
all
really, really
facets.
Appreciate it. Yeah. But I mean, I think that, you know, Trumpet Joe here says, yes and no to the tipping question at 5 a.m. I'm definitely tipping the ladies at Dunkin' Donuts. It's easier to drop a dollar in the jar rather than swipe 12% on a screen for other fast food workers. And I think that's, for me personally, I just tip because on most, especially baristas, because I just do. And it's usually like a dollar because I'm ordering a coffee and it doesn't, and I have the ability to tip a dollar. So I will do that. I don't get angry about it. I don't get like incensed about it because for me personally, I feel like this brings up a bigger question that these folks who are asking for tips, it's because maybe they're not being paid enough. And then someone can come back and be like, well, they should get a different job. Well, yeah, of course. Easy fix there, buddy. But if they're asking for tips, it means maybe they're having a hard time. Maybe the company knows that they're not able to get by on what they're being paid. So therefore they're saying, you can ask for tips now and put it on us, you know, the people.
Right.
It's kind of like we were talking about with Eileen. It's a bigger nuanced discussion behind the initial question that can just make people go yes, no, and get very mad. But we have to talk about why people aren't paid more in this country and why we as consumers then have to not only pay for the services, but then on top of that, pay more to them because the companies they work for, like, we don't have to do that. And what are their options? None. So they have to work here anyways.
Well, I agree. And that's my whole thing. And I've told Starbucks employees this, and I'm sure they want to hear it, but I'm like, you know, you guys need to be paid more. Starbucks is a multi-billion dollar. They can afford to pay their workers more rather than schlep it off on, you know, they're already charging $7 for a coffee. Like, what bothers me more is the nerve that they would put that out there. Because it's not the employees. You're right. Yes. If the employees were asking for a tip and I thought they needed it, I would do it. But,
yeah,
you know, those times that I, you know, there's a place in Madison I eat at all the time. And it's great food, but they don't wait on you. They just make your food and hand it to you. Mm-hmm. And then they ask for a tip. And I turn around and I have to wipe my own table off.
Yeah.
What am I tipping for exactly? They're being paid. And it's not like they're being paid $2.14 an hour or whatever waitresses make. They're getting a wage, you assume, at least minimum wage. Pay them more. You're a successful company. McDonald's, we see how many billions and billions of burgers you've sold. Pay your damn employees a higher wage.
Well, I mean, those are some of the same companies who tell their employees, hey, don't sign up for our healthcare system because it's not very good and it's expensive and whatnot. Go ahead and sign up for your state Medicaid program because you can afford that now because we pay you so little. I think that I would venture to say it's been a long time since I've worked in the fast food customer service world. And when I did, we did not get tips. There were no tips whatsoever.
Right.
I don't believe that folks who work on the counter, who work in those kitchens, the folks who are making minimum wage or maybe a little bit more, not a lot. But I mean, you think about minimum wage is still $7.25. I mean, come on.
It was like $3.50 40 years ago when I was. Yeah.
It's to the point where it used to be fighting for 15 and now 15 is far too little and it needs to be like $20-$25 and that blows people's heads up when they hear that, but it's just the truth. That's how time works. But I guarantee you that not a single person in that room was excited when some manager walked in and said, "Hey, today we can start asking for tips," because they know that the people flipping burgers, taking orders, handing out the food, they're going to get the brunt of the anger and the frustration, not the manager in the back, not the guy at corporate. It's the kid who's like 19 years old trying to work three jobs in college who has to do this. Go, if you want to leave a tip, you can. So it's so
right.
Just you're putting it all on these kids and these people who are just trying to live while a manager is like going, guess what, guys? Big program. Get excited.
Right.
They can start tipping you now. All right. I'm going to go play golf.
Yeah, I think it's the Starbucks one that bothers me even more because they're so expensive to begin with. Like that just enrages me. But like, there's a Starbucks in Madison that I go to periodically when I stay down there, and they don't let you tip. They click it already for you, and that makes me want to tip them in a weird way. Like it's so dysfunctional. Yeah,
I do not know how that's because when I go to Starbucks. I just usually, like, again, I'll just tip a buck. I'm lucky. A buck is not going to destroy my finances. And if it means that throughout the day everyone tips a dollar, then it can, but I don't get into the surface argument of it all. I want to go right to, well, why are we having this? Why are we asking in the first place? Why are these people being allowed to ask for tips in the first place? What is the problem with corporate and their models of payment? Maybe that's the thing we need to discuss. Aaron Zommers, on listening on WMDX, our buddies Aaron Zommers, said no. Tips are for when companies are allowed to pay sub-minimum wage and fast food slash coffee places typically pay real wages. Tips are actually the bonus for exceptional service that they are supposed to be in this case. And I understand that completely. But I would ask, at these fast food joints, at these coffee joints, how much are they being paid? If they're being paid $10, I don't have a problem giving them $1. Or $2. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
My approach for a while was, you shouldn't have to ask for tips. Yeah. You should be paid more money. And I realize I'm not going to start a Norma Rae situation here and they're going to cry union, but I'm trying to put that in the heads of these people. You need to be paid more. You can't be shaking us down for money and even fast food, Greg, you know, an individual that goes to McDonald's, $12 to $15 for something that used to cost $7 or $8.
Oh yeah.
You know, Jenny Brand on the stream says 20% is a bare minimum. If we want quality, affordable dining, we should treat restaurant staff with dignity and deserving of quality dining options. Sadly, fast food workers get screwed because of major corporations. We need to demand higher fair pay for everyone, especially restaurant staff. Well, I agree about the restaurant if the service is good. But
We have Melissa calling from Willie Street in Madison talking about this. Melissa, good evening. Welcome to Nightlight. What do you say about tipping?
I don't like the idea of tipping fast food workers or baristas, but I also have a problem with DoorDash. They ask for a tip every time, and if you don't put a tip on there, nobody's going to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa, I could take three shows on my opinions on things like DoorDash and third-party delivery systems. I think those are just low rent scams that actually do a lot of harm to small businesses as well. But yeah, I mean, I've seen the stories as well of drivers saying like, I'm not doing this. It's not worth my time, or taking it out on the customer because like, you didn't give me a tip. Well, I'm not going to give you the experience you need. So yeah.
I agree with that. Except that in that case, Melissa, the person is using their own car. And I agree with you, Greg, it's kind of a scam. And it's like, if people use their own cars, and there's costs for running that. That I could see a little more than someone behind a fast food. But it's all kind of a racket anyway.
Yeah, and I would say too is like, if you ever look at a breakdown of how much money a restaurant makes in a month when they utilize these services, they lose money, in my opinion, when they utilize these services. So I try to always just go to the place, find a place that has delivery in-house where they pay their employees. I never use those third-party systems because I just don't think they're worth it. I'm not paying another $5 to get my food when I can just get in my car and drive 3 miles. Melissa, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you reaching out tonight. This is a topic, Pete, for me that goes way deeper than just like, I don't like paying people. Bah.
Same. And I'm happy to pay people if I think it's warranted. Amanda Nimmer on the stream says, last time minimum wage was increased, a 24-pack of soda cost $5. It was $20.09. Is that true?
It seems so, yeah. Insane. I wouldn't know. 24-pack of soda was $5? I am so old.
Hot fun in the summertime. Hey, coming up next, folks, after this very short break, we've got... Megan and Crystal from Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends are talking porta potty races. How can you miss that? Don't go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabe and Greg Baca, Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Dom Lee, Working the Board. That's a great song, Dom.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that.
Where'd
you find that?
Online. The good magical world of Google.
You know, say what you want about the internet. It's here to stay.
Google. I've heard of Google. Oh, my goodness.
The more you know.
Isn't it the Google?
It's the Google. It's the Google. Like Michael Bublé, it's the Google.
Folks, our question of the night is, do you tip fast food workers or baristas or those type of vocations or employees? Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Most people, I would say, it's been a resounding no, or at least they don't. I do it often, actually, but I'm just annoyed that these corporations make people ask. Greg and I.
I like how you, that's how it always is. I don't want to do it. And then when you're there, you're like, $2.
Because I'm looking another human being in the face. I don't have the guts. You know, I don't know what this person's life is like. I'm just such a sex sack.
You're a nice person, Pete. That's what's being a nice person and empathetic. Don't lose that ever.
I'm trying to get there. Hey, folks, this is exciting. Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends is an outstanding organization that helps provide resources and support for kids in foster care. They also know how to plan a really fun event to do so. Joining us now from Manitowoc over the stream, our executive director, Megan Anderson, and board member and teacher, awesome, Crystal Growell. So great to have both of you here. Welcome.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Totally our pleasure. And I'm glad that you guys got in the same room for the interview. That shows very, very vocational commitment. Before we get to this fun event that is we've been talking about all show, we cannot wait to talk about it. Tell us a little bit, give us a little bit of background about Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends and what you guys do there and your mission.
So Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends was founded in 2018 by foster parents. They decided to start this organization because the state does provide resources to foster parents or parents who have placement of relatives that are placed in their care, but those resources only go so far. So we were formed to fill in that gap and provide resources like clothing, hygiene products, activities for the families to do together, a support group for the parents to come to and talk to one another and make those connections in the community.
That's great. And you have some programs too. Can you tell us about those, like programs you offer, how people can get involved and what you do with some of the foster kids?
Yeah. Some of our programs, we have a care closet that is run out of our Manitowoc office that parents can come in and get any clothes they need for their kids, any hygiene support items. We have a diaper program that every month they can sign up and get diapers for their kiddos. We also have a normalcy program, so we'll plan events for kids to go to with their siblings. We have a really great place called Glaze and Paint here in Manitowoc, so we'll take them there to do some art. Last year, we took them to a Timber Rattler game.
Ooh, fun.
We have a really great, we have a great support group as well. So we invite foster parents or kinship parents to come hang out to share struggles or successes, and then the kids join and the kids kind of go off and play while the adults get to connect and help each other out.
We've, you know, I feel like in the past few years, we've seen more and more outreach for people to foster young kids. There's so many kids out there who needs homes, whether, you know, it may, might not be ready to adopt, but would love to be a foster parent. But before I ask about that question, you said a phrase that I'd never heard. What is a kinship parent? What does that entail?
So kinship is when they're related to you. Gotcha. So let's say a grandparent would take custody of a grandchild. That would be a kinship placement.
Gotcha. Now, when people, you're a relatively newer organization founded in 2018. What do you do for folks who kind of maybe just walk through the doors and say, I want to do this. I want more information, but I don't know if I'm ready. I mean, what is the intake process for folks who want to be a part of this community?
So we work with Health and Human Services, who does all of the placements for Manitowoc County. And then when they have a new placement come in, they will refer them to our agency. And once they have a placement, they will then be able to use our services.
Excellent.
So if they want to become a foster parent, we recommend them to Health and Human Services to go through training and get certified that way.
Crystal, you're a board member. You're also a teacher. Yeah. My wife is a teacher, and I know what teachers see on a daily basis. Is that how you got involved with Lakeshore? And also, what can people do short of becoming foster parents? Can they donate, or how do they get involved?
Yeah, so I actually got involved with the nonprofit because I was a former foster parent myself. And I, you know, I was pretty young. I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I wanted to, you know, help my community, but it is a really hard job. Definitely the most important thing I've ever done, but very difficult. The most difficult thing I've ever done as well. And so I got to know Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends as someone who got supported by them. And so now I'm part of all the amazing things that we do to support those families. And of course, I see it all the time as a teacher. You know, kids carry in lots of big emotions, lots of trauma, lots of struggles, whether they're in foster care or not. There's a lot going on in the world. So this is definitely one way to support the community and all that's going on.
That's a great answer. And like I mentioned also, can people get involved? Like, can they just make a donation? Or if they don't want to have time, if they don't have time to get involved in the porta potty races, which we'll talk about after the news, how can they get involved and not necessarily become a foster parent?
If they want to support us monetarily, we have a donation portal through our website, but we also take donations of new clothing or new any new items for kids, bedding, blankets, clothing, things like that.
Excellent stuff. All right. Thank you, guys. Crystal Growl and Megan Anderson are here. Folks, they're going to stick with us through the news, and we're going to talk about this. I can't wait to hear how you guys decided to have porta potty races as a fundraiser, but I think it's going to be a blast, and I think Greg and I might actually road trip to Manitowoc. We'll discuss that off the air. But they're coming back after the news to talk more with Crystal and Megan and about porta potty races. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, welcome back. I thought you were doing that. I'm over here dancing like a, you know.
A dancing man.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Great to have you here, folks. We are back for the fourth quarter, as it were. And our guests are awesome. We had a brief conversation with them before we did the news. Crystal Growl and Megan Anderson. Megan is the executive director of Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends. And Crystal is a board member and teacher, and they're doing such great things there in Manitowoc with Lakeshore. And you know what? Let's not bury the lead here.
Yeah.
You have a really cool event coming up. So I know Greg and I are very excited to hear about the porta potty races. So before we do a deep dive, how did this come up? How did this become the fundraiser for what is an upright and upstanding organization like Lakeshore Foster Families, that you go porta potty on us?
Well, why not porta potty races? I mean, come on.
For those not watching the live stream, they looked at each other and goes, "You say it. No, you say it."
How do we answer that? What kind of question is that?
We were both not around when this started. Oh. From what I understand, the founder of the organization saw this happening in the UP, I believe, and she thought that would fit in perfectly in Manitowoc County. It's something very different, something that very much perks the ears when you hear it. It's like, oh, I need to go check that out. So they started doing it in 2018, and we haven't stopped yet. So this will be year number 8 doing it.
And if you come, which you should on Saturday, it's at the Smiling Moose in Newton, and it is the best location for the porta potty races. It is like a country bar. It is just like the best place. You need to come check it out.
If you want to race a porta potty, we do have some pre-built ones available that you can get in on the action.
Yeah, like we could be a team. Like
you could Jack
and
team
I
if you want.
Will be a team with you if
yes,
you would
we,
like.
We would race a porta potty with you. Yes.
Challenge accepted. Do we have to decorate our porta potty? Like, will we be provided one, or do we have to rent one, bring it, and then style it like, you know, the old Cub Scout, you know, Pinewood Derby thing?
No, we can provide one. You don't have to get too fancy. They're not real porta potties. I'll put that out there right now. It's like most people build it. It kind of looks like an ice fishing shanty almost, but very small. And you put one person in it, and then you push it that way.
But if you have like, you know, special magazines you like to bring with you on the potty, or like some special toilet paper, you might want to bring that along to get in the mood, you know.
I'm very proud of myself for being mature enough not to make a joke when Greg said, "Do we have to decorate the porta potties ourselves?" I didn't go there. So it did say on your website though that people have to do these themselves. They're supposed to be homemade. And they put a lot of effort into it. And I was watching a video you guys posted. It looks a little dangerous.
It's worth okay. it.
Maybe I'm on an island there. I don't...
No, our lawyers have said...
There's a waiver. We're hoping to get some more snow on the ground to make it a little easier because they put them on skis. So the fact that it's snowing right now is really helpful, but it is going to be 50 degrees on Friday. So we're hoping for some more snow to push them. Otherwise, it might be a little muddy.
Well, that I mean, no comment there either. But how many people participate in this? Is it like just a ton of people, or is like what is it like things you've seen grown over the years? Like, you know, the first year we had like 5 people. Now we have like 50. What are the numbers on the teams?
We have 6 teams registered currently, and they have like 4 to 5 members that are going to push their porta potties down. We normally have a couple teams join the day of. I'm not sure what it was when it started, but a lot of local businesses will sponsor a team, and then the teams will go race.
Okay. So that leads me to my next question. Give me the design of the race itself, because you said a team. I'm thinking like we just had the Olympics, and who knows, 10, 15 years, Olympic porta potty races. It's possible. I think there's a sport where you ski and then shoot, I think. But yes. So when you are porta potty racing, what is the makeup of the team, and how does it like work? Is there someone like sitting there to give it like center of gravity, and then people push and then they move around? Or what does a team do when they're racing the porta potties?
Yeah, I think there's some, you know, serious strategy behind it. Usually you have, you know, your lightest person on the potty itself holding on. And then you have, you know, 3 or 4 people, even 2 could be pushing from behind to get that potty moving. But yeah, you can make it however you want it to be, really. Maybe you have a shower curtain as your potty walls, and maybe that's flying in the wind. It could look really interesting.
I love that you guys are the ones sponsoring this, and you're both blushing as we talk about porta potties. I also realized that these are world class athletes. Have there been injuries? I've seen this because they do this in Menominee, Michigan, and I've seen it firsthand. Those things go down sometimes, and there are toilets in there. Do people ever get injured? Tear an ACL, you know?
There's never been, you know, real toilets in there. Like, there's buckets. Oh. You know, you want to make it as light as you can, so it's easier to push. But one year we had Bartow Builders, one of our kind of like ongoing sponsors of the event. They made a sink for their potty, and they kind of put it on a sled, and they had their passenger sit in the sink, which could be a little bit heavy, you know, a little heavier than a bucket, but creative.
So what you're saying is that when it comes to what constitutes a porta potty, truth is in the eye of the beholder or the builder. So it doesn't have to be the traditional outhouse or what we see at ball games. It can literally just be anywhere you can go. So it could be like a sink and be like, hey, in my house, that's a potty, and I'm going to race in that. And there's no room for challenges. There's no judges on the side, like thumbs up, thumbs down. It's whatever you believe is a porta potty. You bring your dreams to the race, and you win it if you can.
Yeah. We do have, though, like most creative judges' choice. So people really commit to their plan. Last year we had Parker Hannafin, they took on like the Flintstones theme. And so they all dressed the part as each of the characters, and their porta potty looked like the Yabba Dabba Doo vehicle, you know?
And this year they are Scooby-Doo themed. So they have the Scooby-Doo villains versus spoiler. The mystery machine. So there's a little spoiler that's coming out. So I'm very excited to see what they do for that.
Zoinks. our guests are Megan Anderson. She's the executive director of Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends. And joining her over the stream from Manitowoc, live on the radio, is board member and teacher Crystal Growell. This is so fun. Thank you for being here, you guys. How much, in all seriousness, if we could just divert for a second, then we'll get back to the silliness. How much have you raised? Has this been a really good fundraiser for Lakeshore?
Yeah, last year we hit our highest total. Last year we raised $15,000. This is our biggest fundraiser. Mm-hmm. So we really rely on it to keep our services going, keep our family supported, and, you know, keep resources in the hands of foster and kinship parents. So yeah, it's a really silly event, a little ridiculous, but it's really important. And it really, you know, drives our mission.
I think in today's day and age, we need silly, especially when we're trying to get things like this out there. I'm a firm believer that the things that people need to know about, when you can wrap it around some fun or some silly, it always makes it more enjoyable. And you get out there and people, and we're talking about it right now. Are there other events that your group has throughout the year that maybe not as, you know, stellar, important, and monumental as the porta potty race, but other things that you do that are in the same vein? We're like, we're going to raise some money. It's fun, silly. Are there anything else that goes on with the group throughout the year?
Yeah, we have another fundraiser that we started last year that we're going to bring back again this year called Foster the Arts. So we reach out to local artists in Manitowoc and get art donated, and then we auction that off, and the money from that auction goes to support our organization. We also do events leading up to it for the families to go create art. So we partner with the library and with Glaze and Paint again, and they created art and then had an art show at the auction to be able to showcase their art for their for them. So that was really cool. And then that money goes back to our organization as well. So that happens in the fall.
Fantastic. A little bit more serious tone for that event.
if you want to show up in a porta potty, you can show up in a porta potty.
All the paintings are done by the person in the porta potty during the race. I think that's an interesting challenge. The race is
thank you.
The event. You're welcome. I want a signing bonus though. We've got the porta potty races are February 28th, folks. That's this Saturday, 11:30 to 3:30. It looks like an absolute blast. What else is there? I know you guys have food. You've got a raffle. And how can people, if they actually want to enter it, where do they find out more information?
So you can go to our website, lakeshorefosterfamilies.org, and you can sign up to race a team on that website. You can find some more information about us. We'll also have basket raffles. We have about 25 raffle baskets that are up for grabs, so come buy some raffle tickets. And then we have food provided by the Smiling Moose Saloon in Newton, and their food is fantastic.
Did you say 50-50 raffle?
We're also doing a 50-50 raffle, and there are kid activities. So family-friendly event. Bring the whole family.
And did you say a meat raffle?
Oh, yeah. There's so much happening. We have a meat raffle as well.
And there's a band inside. Like, you just can come for the whole day.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we'll be able to make it this year, but I'm gonna volunteer Pete and I for next year being the official hosts of the event, where we're like, welcome to the 2027 porta potty races here in Manitowoc. We are happy to join you, and we'll be like, and we'll dress up like 70s sportscasters with the haircuts and the yellow suits.
We need a letter of commitment here.
So I knew you were gonna ask.
I just want to be paid in meat, and that's it. That's all I can.
Do you guys do the race, or are you just kind of work in the crowd?
So we were just talking about that before we got on. We might be doing the race this year. So
sweet.
Yeah.
But we'll have like trivia, so people can learn more about the organization and kind of like, you know, why we're important, why our community needs us. So kind of informational as well. So we'll keep things interesting throughout the whole day.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be, porta potty race, 50-50 raffle, meat raffle, band. There's going to be a bar. It feels like it's very, very built to have fun.
Little something for everyone.
Exactly.
I like that you guys had the, what I saw were toilets in there, and which begged the question, when people are done, toilet seat up or down?
Down. Always down. Yeah.
All the way down, including the lid. It keeps the germs and things from flying. It's and also, does anyone install bidets on the toilets in the porta potties? That's a personal question I'm asking for the world.
I feel like you should keep that idea for your potty next year. You know, I want to see that.
She is such an elementary school teacher saying potty.
That's a great painting, Kyler. So really great. Never show that to anybody. Put it in your desk.
You guys, this was so much fun.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, and just have a plunger there in case, but I don't see any problems, and we would love to be part of this at some point. And maybe we'll... Dom, are you in?
I'm in. Count me in.
We'll put Dom in the thing, and Greg and I will be the pushers. Hey, the fiber, if you will.
Hey, Dom, you're in.
Let's go. All right. I'm excited. Yes.
All right. Megan Anderson, Executive Director of Lakeshore Foster Family and Friends, and Crystal Growell, Board Member and Teacher. Lots of fun. Thank you for being here. Best of luck with the event. Keep us posted on future events, please.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and be sure to visit our website if you're listening in. We'd love to have you follow us and support us.
Give it one more time, please.
LakeshoreFosterFamilies.org.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, Amanda said on the stream, I would pay to watch Greg and Pete race a porta potty.
There you go.
How much?
How much?
And if you tip, we'll do it. All right, we're coming right back. This is Pete and Greg and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. That guy is Pete Schwabba. Dom Lee is in Madison on the ones and twos, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Network. We're so happy you joined us this evening for episode 2 of Nightlight 2.0. Had a great show. I think this was a very fun show. I would say it's top 2 shows so far. I would put that in a list. Pete, what do you think? You think top 2 shows?
I'm not ready to go there quite yet, but I think we're getting there.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I just want to remind everybody that we have a fantastic show for you tomorrow night. We got a lot. It's a super duper jam-packed show. We're going to be talking to Tom Tran, who's a comedian who is going to be doing an event, I believe, is it Green Bay, Pete?
It's in the Fox Valley, yeah.
Fox Valley, okay.
The Veterans Association there, and Tim Cody runs it, does a great job. We had the comedian on last year. It was a lot of fun, and they just raised money for vets. And
Wonderful.
You can buy a plate. Last year, I didn't even go, but I bought a plate. Not at the dinner. It was too expensive, but I went to the dollar store and bought myself a plate.
Tom Tran.
That's gold, Greg. No, Tim Cody is is an excellent job, and he runs a great show up there. So we'll have a lot more information tomorrow, and it's definitely something, if you want to support veterans, you should tune into.
Absolutely. And then we'll be talking to Martin from the Madison Library about their book recommendations. We're going to be doing that, I think, probably every few months, see what people are reading per season. And then joined by Civic Media's own nomad of sports, our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. He is everywhere all the time. I'm sure we're going to talk about spring training because the Brewers are in Arizona. They are winning and losing, and they will break my hearts and make me feel good because that is the plan of baseball. But that's all on tomorrow's show. And also, really quick, do not forget, tonight is the State of the Union address by President Trump. That begins at 8 p.m. our time, Central. We are Wisconsin, so that's Central time. And then you can keep along with that by tuning in for our coverage here on Civic Media. We are going to be doing, there will be the State of the Union address. And then there will be, I'm trying to find my notes here. Here we go. We are presenting a special broadcast with host John Scott. There will be post-address analysis as well. There will be guests, so you can be a part of that. That all begins at 8 o'clock tonight after the State of the Union address. But watch it. We'll be talking about it tomorrow. I am certain of that. But we really do appreciate you being a part of this and everyone for calling and texting in. We really appreciate that. Now it's the end of the show. It's time, Pete, to dispense some wisdom. It's time for a handy tip from Pete and Greg.
Yeah. Love it.
Like it.
We are. That's amazing. Amazing. All right.
The only
cool
thing that could be better than that would be the soothing tones of John Scott. The tip of the day, guys.
Just go on a road trip with him or something. My goodness, you keep on talking about it.
All right, let's get the tip. Yeah, this is a
great
one.
This comes by way of KTLA News 5 in Los Angeles. An East Hollywood resident said she has become the latest victim of a Coco food delivery robot after it uprooted her garden and got entangled in her fence. I don't know Coco. I guess this is an available system of food delivery that robots deliver food to your home. And apparently this one went a little haywire. And here is my tip, Pete. I don't know about you, but this is what I say. I got two. So,
okay.
Tip number one, if you encounter a robot that is delivering your food to your house and it goes haywire and it wants to rearrange your garden, let it happen. We've been watching movies for years now where robots become sentient, become more human, and we always root for that robot. I'm not about to say no to a robot in real life. That's tip number one. If that's how you want to deal with it. Tip number two, Let it happen because they are our overlords, and you want to look good when you encourage our robots, no matter whether they're menial task robots or they're building machines and fighting wars. Let it happen. We're already there. It's not going to be good if you try to resist. They are our overlords. That's where I see. What do you feel about this, Pete?
We are all going to die. There's no question about that. But
wow,
I think,
all right.
I think I agree with you on one front.
Yeah.
If a robot comes into your garden, mm-hmm. even if it leaves it in disarray, have you seen the robots they're building in China that know martial arts and all that? She's getting off easy, this woman. Yeah. The other thing is, this is food delivery. And it's her garden. Maybe the robot is looking after her and just wanted to get some cauliflower into her diet out of her own garden. You know, it could be a helpful tip. You know, robots are already smarter than us, and they could probably put us on a good eating plan.
See, that's just, it's about how you look at it. Also, I would just say, you know, maybe a free tip from me to all of you. Just go to the place and pick the food up. I just don't want to think about a robot coming to my house and dropping off food. It just feels like the most dystopian height of luxury to me. It's just, no thank you.
Here's the other thing, though. If a robot delivers your food, mm-hmm. you don't have to tip. Let that
sink
in.
Every time. I can't. Every time.
It's the Pete Schwab School of beating a joke into the ground.
And that has been another edition of Let That Sink In with Pete and Greg.
Needs more Scott.
I think that Let That Sink In should be either the renaming of this segment or something else, because I feel like it's here to stay. I feel like you want this to be a thing, and I'm not against it either, Pete. I just like the whole nice, pregnant, dramatic pause and Let That Sink In.
I'm letting it sink in before I say it, so I can provide.
Well, that's what a lot of Americans don't do before they talk. They don't let it sink in. They're like, they hear things like, I got an opinion.
Correct.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. I want to thank, I'm thanking on behalf of Pete and myself. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, engineering. Thank you, traffic. Thank you, the entire Nightlight team. Without you, we are talking into microphones that do not work. Thank you to everyone, absolutely everyone who called, texted, left a comment on the live stream. Without you, there is no us. Again, we're going to have a jam-packed show tomorrow. We're going to be talking comedy. We're going to be talking about vets. And we're going to be talking about libraries and sports. It's all here for you tomorrow on another edition of Nightlight. And stay tuned and stay close, because after this, we're going to be having the State of the Union and then post-address analysis coming up. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. We got lots of great stuff heading your way. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned, stay close, and good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.